AutoLine After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone. Your journey, our passion.
This is AutoLine After Hours with John McElroy, episode 223 for December 20th. Christmas presents and coal for 2013. Watch AutoLine After Hours live at AutoLine.tv every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time or 2300 GMT. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for AutoLine in iTunes, Stitcher, or by following the links on our website.
Well, John, we're on the air.
Well, ho, ho, ho! Ho, ho, ho!
Frickin' ho.
Yeah, this is the final after hours of 2013. We're giving out presents and lumps of coal, the things that we've seen go on in this industry this year.
And joining us are Gary Vasilak from Automotive Design and Production.
Peter, John.
Good.
And Scott Burgess from the greatest job in the world, Motortron.
Yes, it is.
So we got to figure out, how are we going to do this? We want to give out coal and presents, and I guess we can just sort of round robin this whole thing.
Yeah, we can. You want to do coal first and then presents?
I think we can jump back and forth.
Yeah, let's.
Well, one man's present, maybe another man's coal.
One man's ceiling is another man's floor.
Yes. I think I might have heard that before.
Peter, you want to start?
Coal? Hey. I got a lot. Well, okay. I mean,
just a lump.
Dan Ackerson for being simply the worst CEO in GM history. Now, don't believe all the stuff you've been reading. I mean, if you read everything that's been published, he is the greatest CEO in General Motors history.
Visionary,
everything. But I disagree, and I think over time it'll be proved that he really didn't do much, that it was the true believers at GM who really did all the work.
I think once he leaves, you're going to see GM take off.
Yeah.
I really do.
All the pieces are in place. I mean, they got rid of the stock. They got rid of the government-owned stock. And so, and now Mary Barra moves in, and there's a clean slate. And
as long as she lets Mark Royce, leaves him alone, lets him do his thing with the true believers, she'll be fine. If she starts meddling, it won't go well.
My gut feel is she'll let Mark do his thing.
Oh, yeah, I think she will.
She's smart, and I think she recognizes Mark's one of the best car people in the business.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Gary?
I pretty much agree. I think that there are some external problems that are going to have to be faced, like Europe. I mean, Europe's car sales are getting better, but they've got to sort that out. They're doing very, very well in China right now, but I think they're going to have to take a look at that as well. So, I mean, there are these externalities that, all the pieces may be in place right now, but we don't know how these other factors are going to play out. And so this could cause some consternation there as we go forward. I mean, the situation with, I mean, let's go back to Europe for a minute. I mean, with Steve Gursky leaving, and then you sort of have this situation there of a vacuum when you have the change of saying, okay, now we're not going to have Chevrolet over there. We're going to go back to Opel. I mean, there's a lot that's going to have to be sorted out there because presumably there are a lot of people who made a certain amount of commitment to, oh, yeah, we'll put that bow tie on things. And now suddenly they're found, that go back to that lightning bolt thing with the circle. So there are lots of other things. So here, they're doing great. I have no doubt about that. But let's look at the rest of the world.
So how about a present or a lump of coal?
Well, I'll give a present to General Motors since we're talking about them, and I give them a. So I give them I give them a present for getting back into the smaller pickup market. When last year I gave them a lump of coal for them having departed from that area. This year, let's turnabout is fair play. And I think with the Colorado, in the canyon coming, smaller, this would be a good thing. But so, Peter, I know that we've talked about this, that even though they're smaller, they're still really big. So I looked to see back in 2003, so 10 years ago, if you wanted to get the maximum wheelbase on a Chevy S10, this is the maximum wheelbase. It was 122.9 inches, okay? If you want to get the maximum wheelbase on a 2015 Colorado, it's 140.5 inches.
Wow.
And I think...
That's big.
And now this even is almost even more astonishing. The minimum wheelbase that you have gotten in a 2003 S10 was 108.3 inches. The minimum wheelbase you can get on the 2015 Colorado is 127.9 inches.
And we talked about this. I think, those aren't small pickups, obviously.
The new ones.
The new ones.
Or the forthcoming ones.
I think if a manufacturer does a true small pickup that's small and priced, like, let's say, under $17,000 or something, mm-hmm. I think it'd be gold mine.
Yeah.
But these new trucks are as big as the old full-size pickups used to be in...
Sure, because they're four-door, and that's where you get all that extra...
When you get a quad cab and you make it into a pickup because that's what people want, that's what right. people buy, because that's the only thing you make. And if you got rid of the chicken tax and let everybody bring in small trucks, you would have real small trucks. And one of the reasons that I think that the small trucks' price gets so high is the starting price is high, and the starting price is high is because you have the chicken tax and it keeps everything else from being cheap. Have a bunch of people with compact cars design their truck with car people in mind, not truck people. Truck people always want to have more. They always want to have more power. Last Colorado had a V8, and it was really stupid. And so make a real difference between a full-size pickup in a mid-size pickup.
Although I talked to Mark Royce about that, and he said they penciled the numbers and they just could not pencil a two-door pickup.
Reed Bigland said the same thing. He goes, once I see a business plan where I can make this work, then I would be happy to bring a small pickup in, but there is no business plan.
Okay, Scott, a present or a lump of coal?
Since we're talking about pickups, a lump of coal. This goes to Honda for bringing the Ridgeline back.
I agree. Wow. It's just pathetic.
I like the Ridgeline.
Did it ever leave, though? I thought you could always get one.
Well, everybody thought it was going away.
Yeah,
okay.
And then they said, well, no, it's not really. Here it is.
Nope, we're bringing it back.
Right.
And so, they'll sell dozens of them. And
strong dozens.
scores of pickups.
There's only one problem with the Ridgeline. It's too damn expensive.
Too expensive and too big. Once again, it's a big pickup that is acting like a small pickup. There's neat features on it, and
I like it, man. I think the answer is go buy a used one. But I'm telling you, new. I don't think you can get them out of the showroom for under $30,000, and that's just not competitive.
Yeah,
What about you, Jen? What do you have a
well? Yeah, I've got a present.
Wow.
Hey, back there in the control room, I got a present. That's more like it. I'm giving Kia a year's supply of SlimFast because I'm thankful they brought back the hamsters, put them on a diet, and stuffed them into those skinny suits. So Kia gets a year's supply of SlimFast for me because I like those hamsters, the new look.
So I just got out of the 2014 Sorento. And it was the four-wheel drive, which is very nice with the snow that we've had this past week, and it worked out very well. And so when I was writing about it today, I'd forgotten about, do you remember last year when they introduced that car at the Super Bowl and they had the little kid and all the animal or the baby and animals in spacesuits?
Yeah.
And so hamsters.
Yeah.
Kia has some really great vehicles right now, too. I mean, yeah. the Kia Soul is one of those vehicles a lot of times when I'm talking to people about they want to buy a car, it's the one vehicle I forget to mention because it is in between any of those. If they're looking for a compact car, I guess really it's that size. But because it's so much different than anything else, it's one that I often forget. But it always sells great. I mean, the numbers are always pretty good on it. And then the new version is is really nice.
Yeah. It's not as noisy as the old one was.
Yeah, and that was a little bit of a rattle.
Yeah. A lot of road noise.
All right, I have a present.
All right.
Actually, it's kind of a two-pronged present. It's for the true believers at GM, led by Mark Royce. And these are the people who have given us the Cadillac CTS, the ELR, the new Corvette, the Chevrolet SS, the ZL1 and Z28 Camaros, the Buick Regal GS, goes on and on. I think Mark...
Impala.
Mark Royce is my executive of the year. And also to Ed Welburn and GM Design, I think hands down the hottest group in the business right now with the Cadillac El Mirage, the CTS, the Stingray, convertible, not the coupe. And I expect them to keep doing it. I mean, that's a pretty powerful combo at GM, Mark Royce and Ed Welburn.
Yeah, and I'd say, too, with Mark having purchasing reporting to him, I tell you, I still get earfuls. I'm sure, Gary, you hear a lot, too. Suppliers, they don't like GM purchasing.
Yeah.
If Mark can get purchasing really working with in a collaborative, true collaborative, not the speech of the top executive saying that they've got collaboration, but real collaboration, I think the product at GM could even become better than it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting if you think about it. I mean, you read the list, I mean, and there are more.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sort of interesting if we realize just how many cars they have that are good and then compare it to other companies. And they may have as many cars that are simply good as other companies have cars.
Yeah.
Overall. And I think that they probably don't get enough recognition or credit that they deserve, that people become preoccupied with some other people.
Yeah.
I'll mention any names. But.
Okay, Gary, what you got next?
All right, having said all these nice things about General Motors, I got to give them a lump of coal. The Buick Encore. Now, I may be alone in this, and I looked at the numbers, and they're selling them very well. But, you know, when they claim the next big thing in luxury is small, I mean, does anybody ever look in the dictionary to see what Encore means or perhaps luxury? And, I mean, I just find that to be a very curious, ridiculous vehicle that doesn't characterize luxury.
Bah, humbug. That's not true at all.
Do tell, Scott.
I think that what Buick is shooting for is they're looking for that younger customer, the person that would want a really nice, fancy Kia Soul that is very urban, mobile. It's actually not a bad vehicle to drive in a city. I drove one all around Atlanta. And it was great.
I don't disagree with either of those statements. But, I mean, on the other hand, if somebody wants a Soul, they're going to get into that Soul for a heck of a lot less money than they're going to get
into. Not nearly as nice of a vehicle.
As what?
The Encore is so much nicer than the Soul. I mean, you pay more money. But I'm saying size-wise, you know, it's that kind of customer that is looking for those things. And they want additional luxury, which I think Buick gives. I think that Buick has been in a really good place the last couple of years, in that premium status where no one wants to say they are. It's not full luxury, but it's a premium thing, and I think the Encore plays right into that. That's why I'm giving you a bah humbug.
My only problem with it is it's still badge engineering. Isn't it the Opel Antares? And then I think there's a Chevy version.
They sell it in Canada as a Chevy. It's the Trax or the Captiva.
Captiva is not it. I think it's the Trax. So that's the only thing I don't like is.
And no luxury car has one armrest.
Okay, you win.
Okay, Scotty, your turn then.
I would like to give a present to Chrysler. Thank you for bringing the 3-liter diesel and putting it in a full-size pickup truck. It is about time we've seen a 6-cylinder diesel come in.
Other than a heavy-duty pickup.
I guess the Cummins is, I always think of that as like a 12-cylinder. It's so big. But a modest engine, per se. And it's done fairly well. I mean, performance-wise, it's been great in the Grand Cherokee. So I expect it, and I haven't driven it. It's a really nice truck. We towed, I think it was 8,000 pounds, just like that. The truck never even paused. And we'll see what the final highway numbers are. But, I mean, I think one of the big hurdles for all the truck makers to hit is 30 miles per gallon highway. And this will be probably the closest thing we're going to see for a little while.
Yeah, I don't think it'll hit 30, but it'll be the closest to that. Okay, my turn. I'm giving the Ford Motor Company a gold star. They get a present for giving us the Fiesta ST. That is literally a gift from the Ford Motor Company to enthusiasts around the world. It's the biggest bang for the fewest bucks. It's one of my all-time favorite new cars this year. I was just knocked out by it. It's not very expensive. It's a little pricey for what it is, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, at, what is it, $22,000 and change, it's a bargain.
Well, it's nice that enthusiast drivers have something to, you know, that they don't have to spend a fortune, they can actually get.
Right. Yep. Somebody young,
and
you know.
They won't be disappointed either.
Not at all. Not at all.
It makes you wonder, why have a Focus ST? I mean, the Fiesta ST is so awesome. It's completely tossable and just, it can drive you to work without any problem. A nice daily commuter.
And deliver good mileage when you're doing that. And then it even delivers good mileage when you have your foot through the floor.
And just rip-roaring fun. It's a great car.
It's the power of choice. Fiesta? Focus. You decide.
It's $5,000. I want to keep $5,000.
Okay, Peter, go ahead.
I guess I'm going to give a lump of coal, a double prong lump of coal to NASCAR for doing the exact same thing the same way year in and year out while expecting different results, the quintessential definition of crazy, and to Ford, GM, and Toyota for continuing to buy what NASCAR is selling. I mean, it's just as crazy as NASCAR's obsessive compulsive behavior. And you guys collectively need a new idea.
Well, they need to act on it. I mean, that's the thing. They're not doing anything.
Yeah.
They will not do a thing until the crisis is much worse.
They only manage by gunpoint if they absolutely have to.
What should they do?
Well, they need to really reevaluate the whole series, what they do, what they run, how many races there are, what tracks they're on, everything. But they only do that when someone threatens to pull out.
Well, and you wrote about this 2 years ago, or what? 36 races, right? And you said, what, cut it to 28 right off the bat?
Well, cut it to 30, and actually my ultimate schedule would be 25. Mm-hmm. But they go to tracks twice a season, which, I mean, it's just lunacy. But, you know, Brian France said in Las Vegas at the banquet right before his annual State of the Union NASCAR, he said, things are pretty good. We're not changing a thing.
Well, just ignore the empty seats.
Yeah, that's right. Let's save that video clip because he'll come back to eat those words.
Yeah.
Okay. Gary.
Well, being on the racing thing, I'd give Jimmy Johnson and Sebastian Vettel both presents for their superb driving this year. I mean, both of them.
Domination.
Yeah, it was great.
This is record book domination.
I mean, and what can you say about Vettel? Sure, Adrian Newey is the genius in Formula One, he's the car designer, but you still have to steer and brake and do the driving, and he does a masterful job on it. And, you know, I hate to disappoint the NASCAR purists, but I think Jimmy Johnson is the greatest NASCAR racer in history.
Yeah. This is just not the modern era, as
no,
they are wont to say.
The most competitive period in
the modern era is the most competitive.
Yeah.
So for him to win, what's he up to now? Six championships.
Six. And
Jesus, he
and his crew chief Chad Knaus. I mean, they are. You know,
they're magic.
Yeah.
Magic team. Magic combination.
My driver of the year, in case anyone wants to know, is Scott Dixon in IndyCar, who delivered his third championship. I think he's an underrated superstar driver.
He was way behind mid-season, too. Yeah, behind.
I just think, I mean, if I was picking a team or, you know, I write this column every once in a while in Fumes, but you got five laps left. Who's your driver? If you're a team owner, who's your driver? Scott's one of them on the list because he delivers. He's good, really good.
Well, speaking of Scott, Scott.
I have a lump of coal for the American car consumer. I'm waiting for the... it's there.
Yeah. All 15.4 million of them this
year. All 15.4 million of them. One, they didn't get to 16 million. But two, when you look
There's
at what
the... time for them to go out and buy cars if they've heard this.
The year's not
gonna,
over.
They're going to go out there and
buy
damn,
two.
We gotta
buy more. But I think that when you see that the Toyota Camry, once again, is going to be the number one selling car... There are so many great mid-size cars out there. The Toyota Camry is not on that list. And I understand that there's things that are default purchases that they just buy them. But other than incentives, I'm not sure why anybody is buying that car. Especially when the choices that are out there that you could have a Mazda 6 or you could have a Ford Fusion or a Malibu or an Accord. Any of those cars I would see going in front of the Camry. And it still will be, what, 400 and something thousand units that they're going to sell for the year in the U.S. Shame on the American consumer.
I love that. I've got a present to give. I'm giving a present to the Chinese car companies. In fact, not just a present, but I think we should all give them our deepest admiration for being the global leaders in one-star safety technology.
Yeah, they fold up real good.
When are we going to see them in the U.S.? Are we ever?
Yeah, sure we are.
We just keep saying it's next year.
Yeah, but it's going to happen. You know, one thing that just happened this week, very quietly, the Chinese dropped their tariffs on made-in-USA cars. And so there's still import tariffs, right? But they had an additional one for anything made in America. It didn't matter if it was a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz. If it was made in the U.S. and shipped to China, on top of the 25% import tariff. I think they threw another 25% on top of it. Whatever. Yeah. So anyway, very quietly, they just dropped that. I think they're afraid of retaliation when Chinese companies want to come here. I'll go out on a limb. I'll predict, other than if GM, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, blah, 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 bring a Chinese-made car here. That's different. But Great Wall. Watch that name. Great Wall, I predict, will be the first in America.
I don't know. I was just reading about a company you don't hear much about, and it's like, I can't pronounce its name. It's like Koros. And I was reading about that basically what this company has done is that it has assembled talent in all of its executive positions from companies, you know, existing Western companies from around the world.
Right.
And that, you know, they set up with a strategy that they would make a car that would be world-class from the start. So it isn't a company that has been around for a long time like one of these other ones.
They haven't even started selling cars yet. They just opened their first dealership.
And they just have a new car.
Right.
And so, you know, it strikes me that you know, if we look at other car companies, like, let's say, in, I don't know, Korea, that, you know, when we were talking about Kia before and you know, hiring Peter Schreier, and, you know, we all look at the designs that Kia's come out with, and I mean, just fantastic.
And they're going to show us a new sports car in Detroit.
And so, you know, if you can hire the talent, if you have the money, and if you have the wherewithal, and if you say, well, okay, there are these barriers to entry that we have to meet, which would be crash, and you have somebody who says, okay, we're going to buy a bunch of you know, computers to do computational fluid dynamics and finite element analysis, blah, 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 blah. Why couldn't they make a car that would
Koros is an interesting company. They have received a 5-star NCAP Euro rating. First Chinese-made car, even though, like I said, they just opened their first dealership this week or last week in China. It's Israeli brains and money behind the company. even though it's all in China and all the engineering work's being done in China, it's this hybrid Israeli-Chinese company. Mm. And I find that a very interesting combination. So yeah, Corals, I could be wrong. They could come to the U.S. before Great Wall. But I think Great Wall's way ahead of Corals so far. Okay.
And there you have it.
Yeah. Who's next?
I've got a present for the true believers at Chrysler. Forget the espresso-swilling hordes from Italy who are taking all the credit. It's the people out in Auburn Hills who were there before they got there and who have been doing a fantastic job with what they had to work with. You know, every current product hit from Chrysler is because of them, every single one, and I, you know, take my hats off to them because they're doing a great job.
Are they celebrating Motor Trend Truck of the Year in that picture?
No, that's just some guy that pulled up to the donut depot.
Yeah, they are coming out with great product, and we've seen some of the stuff coming in 2014 too.
But the reality is, let's face it, it's a Jeep and truck company. You know, they can, the 200, whatever. It's a Jeep and truck company. That's where the money is. That's where the profits are.
And they know that. And they know that's a real weakness. I've seen the new 200. Gary, you've probably seen it. Scott, you probably have too. And I think it's much more sophisticated. Well, I mean, it's easy to make it more sophisticated
than the current one.
Well, the current one's got to be the oldest car on the market, right?
But, well, you've seen the spy photos of it too. I mean, they're already out there. You can go online. Anybody can see those. And
but I'm cautious about that because look at all the hype of the Dart.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
All
it will mean is that they're present and accounted for in the segment.
Yeah.
Whereas before in the old one, it was just like,
I think the problem with the Dart was at launch, it was severely underpowered. That was a car that needed a lot more get up and go. And now they fixed it. But, you know, you got to come right out of the box with everything.
Well, and the Dart's launch may have been one of the things that played a role in the Cherokee's delay. That if we don't have it right, it's not coming out. It's not coming out.
Well, that's okay. I don't think that really hurts you too much.
I agree.
But you're far better on making sure that it comes out the way that it should. But like I said, the Dart came out. It was an underpowered car, and that hurt it.
So speaking, Peter, of the true believers in Auburn Hills, do you see any negative consequences of the seeming greater reliance on underpinnings from Fiat that are being used for Chrysler products?
I think the jury's out on that. I don't think we really know. It all comes down to execution, and I don't know. I mean, they're showing that small Jeep in Europe. Who knows where that's going? I just don't know. It's too early to tell. Like I said, trucks and Jeeps just keep churning and burning them out.
Jeep seems unstoppable. I mean, next year it's going to be super high volume. With the Cherokee catches on even a little bit, it's all new people to it. So Grand Cherokee, I keep waiting for those numbers to go down, and you're like, good God, they sold another 14,000 this month. And yeah. I mean, it just, again and again, it surprises me.
Yeah, I think they're going to do 800,000 units worldwide. If by the end of 2015 they're not doing 1 million, shame on them. It's totally doable for them to hit 1 million Jeeps a year.
So does it become a truck and Jeep company?
Well, I think Sergio's hell-bent on proving that it doesn't have to be. But I think deep down, I think they feel it's a weakness. They don't have a car lineup. You know, I mean, the cop cars are cool, but I mean, you know, it's, you know, they think they're not going to survive long term unless they are able to pull this off, and I'm not sure they can. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, Ford did.
Yeah, Ford did.
I mean, Ford was a truck company, and they have a very good car lineup now.
Very good.
Yeah, they do. Okay, who's next?
You?
Me?
No, Gary.
Oh, Gary.
I want to give a present to Mazda for coming out with the Mazda 3 and the Mazda 6. You mentioned the Mazda 6 earlier in terms of a midsize car that people really ought to look at. I mean, because you think about, okay, here's a company that has approximately 2% of market share in this country. And it's got two great cars like that. I mean, they've got to get big
and
credit for
I'd
that.
Add a third. The CX-5 is a terrific little CUV.
That was last year. Well,
so last year.
Yeah. No. But I'm just saying that, I mean, for them to come out this year with, these two cars, what other small company can do that?
But Mazda's got to translate these great products into sales success.
Oh, sure.
And that's their Achilles heel. They just haven't cracked the code on that yet. Maybe the product was never as good as the 6 and 3 are right now. The CX-5 is doing pretty good numbers for mm-hmm. them. But, you know, Honda sells more Accords every year in the U.S. than Mazda sells everything.
Sure. So, Peter, from a marketing point of view, why hasn't Mazda been able to raise its visibility to a point that people would actually pay attention to them and perhaps not buy a Camry?
I think walking away from the Zoom Zoom campaign was a mistake. I think the Sky Active thing was like, if you have to spend 47 commercials explaining what Sky Active is, it ain't happening. So, this image wrangling thing is so fragile. I mean, these companies, once they grab on something, they have to stay consistent. Focus consistency. Look at BMW, the ultimate driving machine. They tried to walk away from it. The Germans insisted they walk away from it. It was a disaster, and they went back to it. If you have something that works and resonates, you got to stay with it. Mazda had something, and they, wanted to change it, and I don't think it helped them. You know, we've been writing these stories about Mazda for years. You know, they make great cars.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't translate it to any volume.
Right.
Hey, it's probably a good time to take a quick break and give a shout-out to our great friends, I mean really good ones, at Bridgestone Firestone. Ben, let's roll that.
Introducing a car company that's never made a single car. Legendary durability. Impressive mileage. Firestone tires. So unstrap the saddle, as these old stallions are ready to run again. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Whether it's on television, online, or through social media, AutoLine knows how to effectively get your marketing message to the people you want to reach. Contact Stacy Eamon today.
Not done with the promos yet. You got to mark your calendars for the next in our series of AutoLine Live webcasts. As you know, the Detroit Auto Show is right around the corner, and we'll be bringing you live coverage from the floor thanks to our signature sponsor, Chrysler. We'll have 2 days of auto show broadcast during the media days. That's January 13th, that's a Monday, and Tuesday the 14th. And we're following those days up with additional broadcasts from the second annual AutoLine Supplier Symposium. Stay tuned for further details on that one. But for our 2014 North American International Auto Show webcast brought to you by Chrysler, that's January 13th and 14th, and you can catch all that on our website, autoline.tv. Make a note of it, because we always get a great selection of guests with the latest vehicles coming out at the show. And before we get back into the lists of presents and coal, I got to thank Peter DeLorenzo for giving me this really cool model. This is an Adrian Newey design.
Yeah, for Gran Turismo 5, the video game. It's old news, came out in 2010, but it's still stunning. It was a clean sheet, visionary Adrian Newey, the brains behind the Sebastian Vettel's cars, but it was like the ultimate Formula One car with no restrictions. 1,500 horsepower, 300 miles an hour top speed, ground effects, fans from like the Chaparral 2J and the Brabham fan car, and I thought John would appreciate it. And so we've been oohing and aahing over it this afternoon.
It's stunningly beautiful. This is Adrian's vision of where Formula One should really be going to.
No restrictions, no nothing. And it's painted McLaren orange, which is a nice touch.
And I see that it's got the Bridgestone logo on it, so that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Ties in with our sponsor here. But yeah, beautiful model, and boy, I would love to see Formula One go this direction.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Very cool. Oh, and Sebastian Vettel did the simulator of the car, and he took 20 seconds off the Formula One lap record at Suzuka.
Which is?
20 seconds.
Yeah, not 2 seconds. They would kill for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
20 seconds.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I got a lump.
Okay, Cole. Let's go to it.
Speaking of the North American International Show, it was a dumb name way back when, and it still is. It's the Detroit Auto Show. Please, someone, wake up one day and not see Bob Cratchit, but whatever. Just change the name. It's the Detroit Auto Show. There's Geneva, there's Frankfurt, there's Paris, there's Shanghai. Why can't it just be the Detroit Auto Show?
Amen. Gary, why don't you take it?
Okay, I want to give, speaking of cars like this, I want to give a present to BMW for the i3 and the i8. And not for their powertrain, but for the fact that they are investing so heavily in carbon fiber technology. Not only the manufacture of the carbon fiber itself, but in the ways and means of producing cars out of this stuff. I mean, if we're all going to be looking for the means by which we're going to get greater fuel efficiency, it's not all going to be powertrain. A lot of it's going to be in materials. And BMW has just put a ginormous bet on this technology. And, I mean, whatever they do is just going to advance it, and it's going to make it more practical for companies going forward. So they get a lot of credit for doing that.
I agree. I think they've lost their way in a lot of ways, but for pioneering that and really putting their stake in the ground, it's pretty impressive.
I wish them the best of luck.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, the electric car thing has just not worked. I've driven the i3. I think it's a fantastic car. I like it. The carbon fiber thing really does work.
Yeah, carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber's all over this Adrian Newey design, you bet. But, yeah, I hope it works for BMW. They've sunk allegedly $2 billion into this program. And
boy, be a while before they get that back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And the i8 is the production i8.
It's beautiful.
It's just a beautiful,
stunning
car. Yeah.
And now they've got a roadster version of it.
Yeah.
Scotty, you got anything else on your list?
Yeah, I'll go off of my list. But Ford really deserves a present for the Mustang. It's a really impressive vehicle. I mean, we just saw it a couple of weeks ago, and there were some really cool things about it. One of the things I really liked was when I talked with the engineers of the Mustang. Originally, they were only going to have the V8 and the i4 turbocharger, and about a year into the development, they said it's going to be too expensive, and went back and put the V6 in it, and that really says something about just making sure that the car is affordable, that it'll still, that people can still acquire it. The V6 Mustang right now is a great car. And having that foresight to just go back and keep that V6 in there, and it'll be the base one, and it'll be, what, the $25,000 Mustang. But, I mean, I'm really looking forward to driving it in the coming year. I think it's going to be a blast.
I agree. I can't wait to get in that car.
And you know, I will give a present to the true believers at Ford. They've got two pivotal cars or vehicles coming. The F-150, which is the franchise for the whole company, and the Mustang, which is the soul of the company, and they're up to the task. I expect them, both of those vehicles are going to be hot. And by the way, for all you out there who haven't seen the Mustang in person, it's much better looking in person.
It doesn't take photos very well.
No. It does not. In person, it's...
Looks like the Mustang. Looks like the brand new Mustang.
Yeah.
All right, I got to throw some coal on this Ford thing. This Ford it's just getting. And you know, I found this sort of ironic.
Terry's been waiting on this all week.
No. I mean, so remember last week, John, we were talking about Mulally, okay? And the rumor, and it's still alive, you know, of Mulally going to Microsoft, maybe, and Microsoft now says they're not going to announce this until 2014, early part of the year. But be that as it may, it just strikes me as being a tremendous irony that Ford continues to have bugs with my Ford Touch, which is keeping it down on Consumer Reports, which is keeping it down. I'm sure there are lots of people who are, you know, reading Consumer Reports and going to buy Camrys. And they got back on the list after they got that good crash rating thing from IHS. But, you know, isn't it ironic that a guy who's being considered to take over Microsoft is car company is suffering from software bugs?
From Microsoft. I never thought of
that's
that.
Just
so that's good, Gary. I hadn't put that together.
Scott just thinks I hate him.
Yeah.
No, it's I hope the Mulally stuff gets decided quickly. I'm kind of glad that Mary Barra moved into the GM CEO spot. And it was a surprise to us how quickly it was done, and Ackerson mm-hmm. stepping down in a couple of weeks, she'll be in charge. And because it would have been horrible to go the whole year as everybody's buying
out. Yeah, right.
And, you know, we assume that Mark Fields will be the new CEO.
Good assumption. And he's it.
So, but still, there's all of these lingering things. Just go. You did a great job. Thank you.
And you know what? I don't want to get into the whole Mulally thing going to Microsoft. I think he'd be brilliant there. I think he'd fix that thing in no time.
Well, the CEO, I mean, isn't the person that necessarily has to have their fingers in all of those pots. They just have to make sure that all the pots are working together well.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he does that. Mulally has a way.
He does.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a present to give. I'm giving Elon Musk a present. I'm giving him a Nomex driving suit and an aloe plant, just in case his car hits any road debris.
That's good.
Who's next?
Well, I got a lump of coal.
Do you have any present ages?
Oh, yeah, I got...
Yeah, he's got a lot of presents.
I got a lot of presents. I was handing out presents left and right.
Look how we jumped to Peter's defense.
I'm going to give Peter a present.
For having so many presents.
No, for having the courage of his convictions and that he delivers on that. I will give him a present. Absolutely, no
Thanks.
Question.
You know, I got to give the great Sergio a lump of coal. I mean, come on, his fourth rejuvenation plan for Alpha... I mean, come on, after selling the Fiat dealers, look, you spend between $1 and $2 million on brick and mortar and give me exclusive Fiat showrooms, you're going to be swimming in Alpha profits in 2014, I swear. And look at what they got now. They got the 500, cute, no profit margin, the 500L, which is ugly-ass thing. And, you know, he's still coming up with his fourth plan that'll be introduced next spring. Come on, man.
Well, to join in Peter's Christmas cheer, I'll give out some coal as well. One, Chevrolet, for letting the Avalanche go away. I understand that it was a very low-volume vehicle, and the engineering costs were very high when they were bringing out the new pickup trucks. But I loved the Avalanche. It was by far my most favorite pickup truck out of all of them. Mm. All of the cool features that it came with. It was groundbreaking. It's the original full-size second row, the first double cab. And I just really hated to see it go. And I know that there's lots of reasons why it should go. But
you know, early on, I want to say they did $100,000 a year with that thing.
It did a lot. It used to be, but it got really expensive.
Well, I think part of the problem is they got it out there. And there was a redesign of it, too. But I don't think it got the support or, you know, modernizations that it needed. But, $100,000.
Wasn't the redesign mainly removing the Transformers cladding from it?
They got rid of what Mark Royce once termed the lazy eye wheel well openings. And if we had a picture of it, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. But I love that description of lazy eye.
I like the Cadillac version of it.
Yeah, and there was that too.
Was that the EXT?
EXT. Yeah.
That's pretty slick.
S-Blade EXT.
That's going away.
Oh, Yeah,
I mean, there's times where I understand what they're doing. Also, by discontinuing the Avalanche, it causes the prices of used Avalanches to go up. And so when I've looked to see to buy a 4 or 5 year old Avalanche, now the price is dramatically too high.
What about you, John? Are you next?
I got a lump of coal for GM, too. I'm giving them a lump of coal for thinking that somehow this alliance with PSA was going to work. Now, GM has got a history of alliances. They've had them with Fiat.
That didn't work.
Suzuki.
That didn't work.
Isuzu.
That didn't work.
Toyota.
That didn't work.
Honda.
No.
That didn't work. So
still working with Honda on fuel cells.
Fuel cells, right. But they bought engines
for the
V6
Saturn.
Engines for Saturn, and they were going
to
do some technical
Saturn Redline.
Yeah. And it never happened. So I don't know why they thought, hey, Peugeot, that's it. Let's go.
Well, if you go through the list and there's only one left you haven't partnered with yet.
And there's a follow-up secondary piece of lump of coal that goes
still
with this.
Still probably Great Wall.
They get our George Orwell Award for not only, their masterfully crafted doublespeak of saying that the GM-PSA alliance is, and I quote this, remain strong. And that GM was selling its shares in PSA because the French automaker really didn't need that support anymore.
That's like the new leader of North Korea saying that his uncle wasn't really a bad guy, we just didn't get along. What the hell? Gary?
Okay, Gary.
All right, I'm going to give one to Johan de Nijssen, who is...
A present?
A present. And he told Automotive News, and I thought this was just a brilliant quote. So he's running Infiniti now, so he's gone from Audi of the U.S. to Global Infiniti, and he said, "We do not strive to be the biggest." And went on to say that he thought that they really need to concentrate on developing luxury that is truly luxury, and that luxury doesn't mean something that's accessible to everybody. And I think that a lot of car companies, and I know that you have very strong observations on this, about how, you know, there's this democratization of luxury, and if we can all get one, then how is it rare? How is it something you aspire to?
Yeah, Mercedes is going to find that out with the CLA. I mean, I'm not, you know, the CLA has got some good points, but eventually it's going to be, well, CLA is as much as a... You name it.
Yeah, Fusion, Malibu, whatever.
You know, what,
right.
Where's the aura of Mercedes-Benz? It's going to fade.
I love Johan. We were talking.
He's one of the brightest guys in the business.
Yeah, I managed to catch up with him a couple of months ago. We were talking about this whole thing about going down market, and I said, that sucks. And in his inimitable South African clipped accent, he said, "Those are not quite the words I would use, but I completely agree with your sentiment."
He's Irish?
Yeah, he's Irish. Well, you know. No, he is. He's got a Herculean task, as they say, transforming Infiniti into the Japanese Audi. And, boy, I don't know. And
the bones might be there. And there were a few years where I really thought Infiniti was starting to come into its own, where the Q30, I forget whichever one it was, but there was a couple of sedans that came up that were really just crisp, sharp,
modern looking.
Yeah, and there was an aesthetic to the design, and then it just kind of went away, and you get these really big, heavy cars now. And
well, in the latest release, they have some problems with that. The steering,
it doesn't like cold weather.
Well, oops.
But it's interesting. I mean, is it possible for a car company that is essentially a mass car company, I mean, not a Rolls-Royce sort of thing. That, I mean, is it possible for them to have limited volume and to be considered a success?
Well, if in the Nissan Infiniti empire, Infiniti has that role to play if they allow them to, you know, if they listen to Johann.
Porsche, it's owned by, Volkswagen. It's part of the Volkswagen group.
But for the longest time, it wasn't, and it right. was basically, it was able to create that.
But
that
Audi sort of, is, and Audi's half the group's profits.
Yeah.
And half. And, you know,
and Porsche is
Lexus makes a lot of money for Toyota.
Right.
And it's largely an American phenomenon. You know, they're trying to spread Lexus worldwide as Infiniti is trying to do the same thing. Johann, going back to him for a minute, said something interesting. We kind of touched on this last week, that you need a luxury brand to introduce new technology because those buyers can afford it. And then you work on your cost and you build the volume, and now you can put it in your mass market cars. And that's the beauty of having both.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was his argument as to why BMW and Mercedes had to go down market. They need the sales volume to amortize the cost of all the technology.
Well, Mercedes is, you know, teetering. I mean, they need volume because, you know, they could be, someone could take them over, really. They're not, you know, they keep churning out vehicles because they don't have any partners. They don't have anything besides them. So, but I still think, you know, I had that conversation with Uncle Dieter Zetsche one night out in Auburn Hills, and I said, Dieter, why'd you guys walk away from engineering like no one in the car in the world?
Oh, Peter, we, you know, Germany, we have Mercedes for everything. We do taxis, trucks.
I said, yeah, but not here. Not here. You just spent 30 years engineered like no other car in the world, aspiration vehicle. I mean, when you get a Mercedes, and you're gonna run that in the ground, he's, you know, it's just like a fundamental disagreement.
So. Maybe Fiat will buy Mercedes.
And say never to anything anywhere.
Not anymore. That's right. Who's next?
I don't know. What do you got?
I got one. I'm giving Ron Burgundy a Clio Advertising Award for single-handedly boosting Dodge Durango sales overnight simply by acting like an idiot. So I'm impressed by that. He gets a Clio.
How much did he impact sales?
Oh, they shot up 50%.
Was it really that much?
50%. I mean, here's the Durango, sort of out there languishing.
How many horsepower does it have?
Pardon?
How many horsepower does it have?
I have no idea.
One. You have one horsepower.
Ron Burgundy, Joe.
Aren't you stupid?
I'm sorry. I'm so slow on the uptake. What you got there,
Garrett? Scott got it. I mean, I got to.
That's why we invited Scott. He's quick on that stuff.
Peter already mentioned this, but I mean, the Fiat 500L, the design of that car, I mean, and as you pointed out, I mean, there's no car that has more charm than the 500. I mean, it's just the cutest damn thing going. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. But, you know, somehow when you take that air pump and you just start pumping air into it and it just starts, like, inflating like one of those balloons over New York during the Thanksgiving Day parade. I mean, the proportions of that thing just became so ungainly. And it just, you know, when I saw it, I just had this feeling, can you imagine how excoriated any other car company in the world would be
if they brought that out?
They brought that out.
I agree.
And everybody.
Can you imagine an American car company brought that out?
Oh.
But while we're on that, I'll give a lump of coal to the automotive media. I mean, you canonize Sergio, and now that isn't looking so bright. And if you need some perspective on that, talk to a few Fiat dealers who have gotten a big dose of perspective with like a 2x4 in the forehead. And the gushing praise for Ackerson over the last week, I mean, absolutely incredible. Calling Ackerson the savior of General Motors, and I'll single out the Bloomberg Business Week cover story, which was baked about 6 weeks ago. So they were in on it. They were embedded, and they knew Mary Barra was going to get it 6 weeks ago. And, I mean, after you read it, it's like Ackerson's the savior of the free world. I mean, maybe he should be running for president. We're missing something. I mean,
well, I read Whitaker's book. I thought he he saved with the 9 months that he was there.
Okay. Yeah, 10 months.
10 months. Sorry.
There's double digits. There's something. By the way, we have our Auto Extremist year-end issue up, the best of the rants, and on the table. There's a very interesting contributed piece about Big Ed Whitaker, and in there that. It doesn't have it's not attributed to anybody for a reason, but it's the goods. So if you're interested, you should read that.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go back and read that.
Well, I would like to give a present to Mercedes-Benz. Now, I know that you were not real big on the CLA, but the SLS GT is completely unnecessary and absolutely awesome. It is a phenomenal piece of machinery. Is it 600 horsepower, 650 horsepower, almost 600
with
pounds?
With all the weight taken out of it.
And it is, I mean, that was when I first wrote it up, I was saying we should also give a present to Depends, which is the only undergarment that you should wear while driving that on a racetrack, because it just... I mean, you have to be careful because it will scare you to death. It's so fast, so quick. When we were doing best driver's car testing, it had the fastest Laguna Seca time. I mean, because it's giant tires, giant brakes, and all power, which for Laguna Seca is all about brakes and power.
Yeah.
And that car is – and that was the one car that we – we had brought some people in. They won a contest, and they got to spend a day with everybody at Motor Trend, and they all got to do hot laps in that car. It never slowed down, just lap after lap after lap. And even when we went to change the tires, they're like, these tires are probably fine, but we'll just change them anyway. And I mean, it just handles all that power. It's $250,000. I'm aware of that. And maybe luxury and super performance should be exclusive, but man, when you get to experience, it's just phenomenal. So thank you, Mercedes.
Well, speaking of Mercedes, I got to give a lump of coal to Steve Cannon, who runs Mercedes North America, who came up with the brilliant idea of having an AMG light package, not an AMG, but sort of an interpretation of AMG for about $4,000.
It's a Southern California AMG package.
Yeah, it's just like, come on, man, what's next? A spoiler and tape stripe and calling it AMG? I mean, AMG's a great brand. Don't screw it up.
Don't dilute it.
Don't screw it up. You know, pull up before it's too late.
Yeah. Let's see, I've got a present here for Carlos Tavares. And I'm giving him a black cape, a wand, and a magic kit.
I didn't know that we could actually designate what the present was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's why I gave Ron Burgundy a Clio. And,
no, I know.
And a Kia SlimFast a year. So anyway, I give Carlos Tavares
the Mercedes,
the magic kit for making himself suddenly disappear at Renault and then magically reappear at Peugeot.
Well, not before announcing 3 weeks before he, that... Yeah, I'm kind of looking around for a CEO job. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Carlos Ghosn said, hello?
Yeah, you are looking. Yeah. Get out of here now. Anyone else got anything else?
I want to give a present to Chevy for putting the diesel in the Cruze. You gave Chrysler one for putting the diesel in the Ram. But I think it's first of all, it's a nice diesel. It's a little noisy. I'm concerned about that. I ought to do something about that. But, for the longest time, there have been the argument of, in North America, we can't have diesels in small cars because it just isn't efficient. And
it's too expensive.
Too expensive, and on and on and on. And then meanwhile, over in, the land of PSA, people have diesels, and people like diesels, and diesels are fun to drive. Not as fun as the 600-horsepower car that you were driving, but... and to see a domestic car company going, okay, let's just see how this works. I give them a present for that. That's
I agree.
Good.
Speaking of diesels, I drove the A8L TDI this year, and I mean, it felt like there was a boat anchor over the front wheels, but boy, the thing just performed flawlessly. It was really amazing.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of diesel by any stretch in the U.S.
And that's the same TDI that's in the Cayenne diesel.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's got 400 foot-pounds of torque, so.
That's a great little diesel there.
Yeah.
So anybody else got any last lumps or presents?
Well, I do, but I think I'm all cold out.
Okay, because we're about at the end of the show here, but I've got one last present. And as you guys...
Have you given out any coal?
Yeah, I gave out GM lumps for the PSA.
I know you just look for negativity, don't you?
Yeah. I mean. And I gave GM a lump for... I gave him the George Orwell Award for this masterfully crafted double-speak explainer.
So you're a GM hater is what
no, because this is
what
how I'm going to end it up. As you guys probably know, we're starting the first annual Autoline Executive of the Year Award. And I put together a blue ribbon panel. It includes Marianne Keller, Dave Cole, founder of Center of Automotive Research, Neil DeCoker, Original Equipment Supplier Association founder, Edward Lapham, former executive editor of Automotive News, and Carl Ludvigsen, who has been on this show in the past and is a world-renowned author, consultant, and former auto exec himself. So anyway, we've been arguing for several months now, who do we think is the best car executive out there in the world? And we narrowed it down to Alan Mulally at Ford, Akio Toyoda at General Motors, or at Toyota.
Something happened we didn't know?
Yeah, right. Tom Dahl at Subaru of America, and Martin Winterkorn of Volkswagen AG, and Mark Royce of General Motors. And like I said, we debated pros, cons, strengths, weaknesses, back and forth, traded emails, phone calls and whatnot, and we decided Mark Royce is the executive of the year.
Oh, that's great.
And we made this we made this decision before the whole Mary Barr, thing. In fact, after that announcement, I sort of huddled with them and said, do we want to change this? And let's not make a decision. Let's sleep on it. And we all came back and went, no, Mark's the one.
Is this the first announcement of this?
This is the first announcement.
So there's a possibility that there'll be a story breaking later today that they'll have rescinded the chairmanship, the CEO of General Motors. And
well, then we'll just erase the show.
No. I mean, that'd be a good thing.
Okay. I wholeheartedly agree about Mark, and I sort of said that in my column a week ago.
So that's my present to Mark Royce, the first Autoline Executive of the Year. And like I said, that's quite a panel to really mull all these people over. And, you know, we talked about a whole bunch of others. Should Elon Musk be on there? Should Carlos Ghosn be on there? And a whole bunch of others. But we narrowed it down to those five and then went, no, Mark Royce is the guy to go with this year.
It's a hell of a present.
It is. And so everybody watching Autoline After Hours live just got a little bit of a scoop there because it doesn't get announced till tomorrow.
Cool.
And with that, I think we can wrap up.
Yeah, well, I think it wrapped up a long time ago.
Yeah. So, Scott Burgess, great having you here, man.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be here.
Yeah.
I hope everybody has a good holiday and gets ready for the Detroit Auto Show, not the North American
That's
International.
Right. Thank you, Scott.
And Gary Vasilash, great having you here as always, too, man.
Thank you. See you guys at NIAS.
Yeah. And Peter, thanks. Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to give a shout-out to Roaster Jack.
Roaster Jack up in Traverse City, who's the official coffee roaster for the Autoline Empire and the Auto Extremist Empire. GreatNoroco.com. Check him out. Jack does good work. It's great coffee. And we thank him for sending us our annual Christmas little package.
We do. And Peter, I got to thank you for this awesome model here. It's just
I knew you'd appreciate it.
Going to be part of the set from here on out. So thank you very much. And I want to thank all of you for having tuned in.
Yeah, thanks for putting up with us all these years.
Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone. Your journey, our passion.
Visit our website, autoline.tv, where you can watch us live Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. Get your daily news fix with Autoline Daily and in-depth analysis and interviews with Autoline This Week. There's all that and much more at autoline.tv.